It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station.
It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump.
Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Awesome. You're older than I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
It's about damn time. Turn up the music.
Time to hit home on a Monday edition of the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy. We got a packed Monday show for you. Of course, we're recapping everything that happened over the weekend, including the Final Four. It is set for next weekend in Houston. And guess who's playing in the Final Four? Yes, sir. It is the Florida Atlantic Owls, the Cinderella team that we told you about in January. They are going to be playing in Houston next week. You know, I think our Owl needs to get a little more excited. Have you noticed it's gained no excitement through this tournament run? It needs to be a little happier Owl or a more festive Owl. It still sounds like it's just in a cave somewhere, but hey, we'll take it. The Florida Atlantic Owls, they have advanced along with San Diego State, UConn, and Texas. Now, nobody saw San Diego State coming. We were the only ones that saw Florida Atlantic coming, but unfortunately, I was too dumb to put a dollar or two down on the Owls. I wonder how much I would have won if I just played a money line on the Florida Atlantic Owls up to this point. But you've got UConn, who I think right now is the best-looking team in the tournament. And then you've got Texas under an interim coach that might be the head coach officially by the time we get to this weekend. In fact, there's reports surfacing out of Texas that say right now Rodney Terry is working on a deal with Texas that could be finalized here in the next couple of days to make him the permanent head coach for the Texas Longhorns. How could you go anywhere else? And I don't know why I'm talking about Texas, because they're not going to be playing this week. It's Miami. Why am I, you know, one of those things where I got so convinced that Texas made it, they didn't make it.
I'm just,
you know, all I care about, you know, is Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, if it's not the Owls, we're not interested.
It's Miami. It's like I'm sitting here looking at it, and for some reason I wanted to tell the story about Texas. Miami Hurricanes, Jim Larrañaga, is going back to a Final Four. But here's one of the thoughts about it with Texas is you had a chance for Houston to make the Final Four. You had Texas with a legitimate chance to make the Final Four. The Final Four is in Houston, and nope, instead we end up with two South Florida teams. They ought to play this thing in Fort Lauderdale because you've got Florida Atlantic out of Boca Raton. And this is also a geography lesson for everybody to figure out where Florida Atlantic University is actually located. It borders the Boca Raton Airport about 1.5 miles at its closest from the actual coastline. And then, and it is Boca Raton, which is something I learned when we relocated down there, when the family moved down there. It was, I thought Boca Raton, but no, it's Boca Raton. And so you've got Boca Raton and you've got Miami, which means the middle point would be Fort Lauderdale. Just play it in Fort Lauderdale and save everybody the travel. My son has already contacted me asking if I'd like to meet him in Houston. I said, okay, go ahead, arrange that.
Yeah.
Thanks for offering. I guess you're buying.
Yeah, I was going to say some Final Four tickets. I wonder what those would.
Well, I did check to see. What airlines or airfare would be out of Fort Wayne to go to Houston? $1,017 for a round-trip air ticket. You know the problem?
Well, I don't have that much to start with, so that would be my problem.
Well, that would be the problem, but the problem is that it's spring break weekend.
Oh,
so yeah. Try to get a plane flight.
Yeah.
And now you can get a direct flight out of Indianapolis that's a mere $550. So, yeah, save some cash there. But then you've got to get hotel rooms. You've got to get the tickets. My son said, hey, I checked and tickets are only $250 for the Final Four. It's like, oh, only.
Oh, yeah, only $250, you know.
Yeah, his value of the dollar has significantly changed since moving to South Florida, where everything is expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so in Indiana, $250, that's a ton of money, right? Down there, it's like, yeah, that's kind of an average ticket price.
Yeah, $250 will get you, what, family of three into a Pacers game with food and drink?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We have got two players out of our 1380 The Fan bracket bash that have actually picked two teams correctly in our Final Four.
Wow.
But they did not pick Florida Atlantic. They did not pick San Diego State. They picked Miami and UConn. So to those that picked Miami and UConn, you're in pretty good shape.
Better shape than us.
Well, all basically, they're all alone out ahead of everybody else. Yeah, we've disappeared in the rearview mirror. We're gone. We're done. In fact, I think as of the Elite Eight, I had no one still available. I mean, once the Elite Eight was done, I was completely out.
Yeah, same boat.
But and then we got our second chance bracket with the Sweet 16. And I don't know, other than UConn, I think was the only team I got right there. Yeah, I did not take FAU. Once again, love them, enjoy cheering for them, but it's like my heart and my brain have this internal debate going on whether or not you go with the Owls. Yeah, I haven't, and I've paid the price. I should have been bold enough to stand up, stick up for the team that I knew was good and no one knew about. I just didn't know how good, and I didn't know they were this good. But, I mean, that's a good basketball team. And I'll tell you what they've got. They've got some toughness, and they got some heart.
Yeah.
I mean, they know how to put it together when the game's on the line. They can lock down defensively. And they're missing piece that, I'll be honest, I watched them a couple of times this year. Never even noticed. Vladimir Golden, their center, their 7-1 guy. I never even noticed him. I didn't know they had a 7-1 center, and maybe he didn't play much the game I saw. I just never even noticed they had a big man that was a true big man. And all I knew is they had a bunch of guys that were quick, that liked to shoot threes, and they're good at doing it. And they've taken that all the way to the Final Four. 363 Division I basketball teams. There's four left, and one of them is Florida Atlantic. Now, San Diego State's also a little bit of a surprise team. But out of the Mountain West, they play a pretty tough conference, tough schedule out of that conference, because you had, four teams ended up making it, because officially Nevada was a play-in game. So officially they are in the tournament. So I think there's four teams from the Mountain West that did make the tournament. Now, the sad thing is there was only one team from Conference USA that made it. But everybody who made postseason play, they've done really well. And we mentioned Charlotte from the same conference as FAU. They won the CBI, and you've still got two teams alive who could possibly play each other for an NIT championship because they're on opposite sides of the bracket with UAB and North Texas.
Wouldn't that be something?
And I would not be shocked at all.
Me either.
46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Your thoughts on the weekend. So let's get down and start talking about what happened in that Creighton-San Diego State game. Because everybody in an uproar feeling like the officials put the screws to Creighton. And I don't get it. I've watched the play. Now, here's one thing that could influence you. If you weren't watching the game, or if you didn't see it and rewind it yourself and watch the play, a lot of the camera angles didn't really have the best look at the foul. The foul did not happen up top on the shot where he released it. The foul happened when he grabbed him by the hip, and after the release, just as he released it, he actually pushed him away. And so there was a grab and a push from behind a pretty obvious foul if you slowed it down and got the right angle on it. And here's my my issue with people that think that shouldn't be called. First of all, you have to call it fairly. If it's a foul, it's a foul. If it's not, then and you just call it the way it would be called if there's 10 minutes left in the game. But the player, Nembhard, younger brother of the Pacers player, he got burned. He got beat. And if you don't want to foul, don't get beat. I put a couple of shots. Did you see the shots I put out on Twitter?
Yeah, I did.
Two shots, right? And it was only like a dribble or two apart. But on the one, he's in pretty good position between his man and the basket. And all of a sudden, a couple of dribbles later, and where is he? Right behind the guy. He's totally out of position, which, first of all, that influences officials. They're more likely to call a foul on you when you're out of position. If he was in front of him and put a hand on his hip, maybe it doesn't get called. But when you're behind a guy and you're pushing through him from behind, out of position, you're going to get that whistle called on you. So I don't think there's a controversy in that. I think it would have been called with 10 minutes left, would have been called with 5 minutes left, would have been called in the first half. That was a foul, and San Diego State had to go to the line and make a free throw. And then he put pressure on himself by missing the first one, but he got the second one, and that was the game. And then, of course, we had the five-minute review when they threw the court-length pass, because you had so many different things to look at. Did he step in bounds when he threw it? That was a no. He did not step in bounds. Then you got to look at who touched it. Then you got to determine, was there time left? And if there was time left on the back end, did the clock start on time on the front end? And so they looked at all these different things and eventually decided there's no time.
Yeah, just end it.
And I think at that point it was going to be San Diego State basketball, because to me it looked like it went off Creighton. But anyway, that was a thriller right down to the end. In fact, we've had a lot of really exciting games to watch, and the Florida Atlantic game was exciting too. But
absolutely,
I thought that was pretty clearly a foul, had to be called. I don't think there was much doubt about it. And of course, with FAU trailing 63-57, I was at a point where I was kind of justifying in my mind that this was the end of the run, that they just didn't have it, wasn't going to happen. Kansas State was too hot. They had the star of the tournament at that moment, and I thought it isn't going to happen. They're down 63-57, 8 minutes left, but you never know who's going to step up for Florida Atlantic. New heroes every single game. If you go back through this tournament, there's a different guy that has stepped up and made the big plays in every game they've played so far in the tournament. In one of them, it was the kid from Gary, Jonell Davis. In another game, it was Forrest off the bench. Had that crazy 8-point run with a couple of triples. And then in this one, Brian Greenlee, who we hardly heard mentioned over the last couple of games because he only had 12 total points in the previous two games, scored 16 points and hit 4 of 6 from beyond the arc. And that's what's so impressive about Florida Atlantic. They got multiple players that can score and multiple players that can score in bunches. They play 9 players deep and they're committed to 9 players. Everybody plays 10, 11, 12 minutes or more. And so they're rested. When you look at the starters in the final minutes, the starters were primarily under 30 minutes at that point, which means they're pretty well rested playing against Kansas State, who's got 3 starters that I think played 34 minutes or more, and a couple of them that played almost every minute of the game. And so they're able to use their depth. Plus, they know how to win late games. They know how to win games that are decided in the final minute. They had 9 wins this year that were decided by 4 points or less. And those were all in conference games. They lost to Middle Tennessee State by 4, but they trailed in that game by 15 points with 10 minutes left and tried to make a furious rally to get back into it late just ran out of time, and that was on the road at Middle Tennessee State. So even the game that was close, it wasn't like it was back and forth down the stretch. It was FAU trying to erase a big deficit and come from behind, couldn't do it against Middle Tennessee State. So they've experienced through 35 wins, you learn what winning plays are all about. And you've got the confidence that you're going to make winning plays. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. We are on Facebook today. We've got our Facebook Live in the studio. You can check out the video of today's show, and we've got that running up till 6 o'clock.
I was just looking for my phone to check it real quick, and then I was like, oh, yeah.
That's right. Your phone is being used as the camera.
Yes, it is.
Today. So it is set up on the beautiful tripod that you've created. I don't even want to describe the tripod that you've created.
No need.
It theater of the mind. If you just say it's a beautiful tripod, just leave it at that.
Yes.
But we've got the video. We've got the video going, and if you look at the background, there's no trash can. I shouldn't say anything.
We'll leave it at that.
Trash can's turned into a tripod. Anyway, we've got your text line, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, open at 46862, 46862. Your thoughts, how's your bracket look? Did you make any headway on your second chance bracket? Do you need another chance? Hey, we're coming to the rescue. We've got a final chance. We were prepared for this. We knew that there were a lot of people that were not going to pick real well.
Yeah, we knew this Final Four was going to be a little wonky.
Including us. And so we now have a Final Four bracket. It's your last chance to cash in and collect some green stuff coming up with $100 on the line. Our Final Four bracket, you can go ahead and make your picks for the Final Four right now on Bracket Bash 2023, 1380thefan.com, or you can just text the word bash to 46862. Again, it's a final chance, $100. So no matter if you've already busted your first bracket and then maybe your Sweet 16 bracket didn't go all that well, you've got one more chance to still make some money with Bracket Bash 2023 being presented by Sweet Spot Golf, by Edding Insurance, and by Coyote Creek Bar and Grill on 1380thefan.com. Let's check headlines. What's happening in the world of sports? A lot of news. And Adam Lundy.
Let's get right into it, Brett. Lamar Jackson announced today that he had requested a trade from the Baltimore Ravens. Jackson, who represents himself, tweeted this morning that he requested the trade on March 2nd as the team, quote, has not been interested in meeting my value, quote, in contract talks.
This is why you need an agent. He should not be in the middle of all this, right? You should just tell your agent, I want to get the best deal, work for the best money I can get. My best option would be to stay in Baltimore, but if it's not going to work there, let me know, rather than trying to draw a line in the sand, because right now he realizes he has no leverage because he's not an agent and he's not represented by one. And all it's doing is causing animosity between the Ravens front office and him. And it's not going to end well, regardless of what happens.
Certainly a strange development there with the Ravens. Ball State sophomore center and transfer portal prospect Peyton Sparks is currently visiting Indiana right now as we speak. A 6'9", 240-pound center, the left-handed Sparks averaged 13.3 points and 8.7 rebounds this season playing for Michael Lewis and the Cardinals.
Would not be a bad pickup, but he's not ultimately the weakness for Indiana. The problem is he's right now a roster need because of Logan Duncombe transferring. I think they still would have been interested in Sparks. He's been a solid player for Ball State. But if you look and see Race Thompson not coming back, Trace Jackson Davis not returning, and Logan Duncombe transferring, I think it leaves too big of a hole on the front line. They've got to get somebody who can go in and grab some rebounds, get some front line depth. I don't know if he would start or if he would be a backup. But it might not be the worst thing for Indiana. They do need a big.
One more for you here, Brett. The Pacers may have been expecting to play the Mavericks without star Luka Doncic tonight as he received his 16th technical foul last game and was in line to be suspended for one game against Indianapolis.
Oh, they didn't revoke it, did they?
That won't be the case. The NBA announced this afternoon that the technical foul has been rescinded, after review.
Rescinded. I said revoke. Oh, well, just a different, you know, potato, potato.
Yeah.
So he will be available to play tonight.
Yeah, he will be available to play tonight. This is the second technical foul assessed to Doncic this season that has been rescinded. Dallas has lost four straight games to fall to 11th place in the Western Conference, a game outside of their play-ins.
Yeah, it's an odd situation, and you have to look at one particular player. I mean, everything has collapsed everywhere he's gone, right? Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
And it just looks like, okay, if you want a destructive culture or a destroyed culture, call on Kyrie, because things have not gone well in Dallas at all. That move has completely backfired on the Dallas Mavericks. There you go. Top headlines from Adam Lundy. Still coming up on the show. Oh, we've got a big surprise. Might have to kind of tease it after the break. But we've got a big surprise coming up on today's show. Now, one thing that's not a surprise is it is Monday. That means Don Fisher, legendary Hall of Fame voice of the Indiana Hoosiers, will be joining us to talk IU. It's our final visit with Don. And so we'll have that coming up at around 5:20 this afternoon. And once again, don't forget to get on to Facebook, where we've got our live video right now streaming. You can enjoy the show video style behind the scenes at facebook.com/1380thefan. Of course, it is the NFL owners meetings, and that means media availability for Shane Steichen. He talked earlier today. Chris Ballard, he has spoken to the media just minutes ago, and of course, the media anxious to find out what are the Colts going to do about Lamar Jackson, who came out and made a public statement that he has officially requested a trade all the way back on March 2nd from the Baltimore Ravens. And he's kind of saying goodbye to Baltimore in his own way. Now, Baltimore still controls it because they've got him under that franchise tag. But will the Colts maybe pull the trigger on Lamar Jackson? I'm going to ask you, Adam, and ask our listeners at the same time. If you have to put together a package to go up and get number one, the number one pick in this draft, or you can put together a similar package and get Lamar Jackson, which way would you go? Would you go, and let's say the package, very similar. So it's just simply, do you want to take one, the top quarterback that you have selected out of the guys that are available? And I'm not saying it's C.J. Stroud or whether it's Bryce Young. It might be Anthony Richardson. We don't know. Will Levis, Hendon Hooker, who knows? But the whole point is you've got the option to trade away a couple of first-round picks, maybe put a package together that's pretty similar either way, and you could get Lamar Jackson, or you could get one of these guys and the pick of these guys, because you would have the number one pick in the draft. Which one would you be more likely to go for?
Am I crazy for saying Lamar Jackson? Because right now I'm leaning Lamar Jackson.
I would not.
Really?
I would not. I would be concerned because the injury risk is real with Lamar Jackson. I think if you find one of these guys is your guy and he turns out to be the best of this group, I think you're going to be in a better position than if you would have Lamar Jackson. Now, the risk you take is Lamar Jackson's a known commodity. You know exactly what you're going to get. You've seen him perform, so you know what you get when you got a healthy Lamar Jackson. You don't know, but you have to trust that if you're getting the first pick, you're getting it right. Because you have very few opportunities to go out and draft the number one guy. But here's the difference maker for me. What's Lamar Jackson going to cost you? A ton of guaranteed money. What is a first round draft pick going to cost you? Not a lot the first 4 or 5 years. And so you can build around a draft pick much better than you can build around an overpriced, overpaid quarterback. So to me, you take Lamar, I'm taking the draft pick. I'm going number one, and I'm going to figure out, to the best of my abilities, who the future is that we want to ride and who I want to put my job on the line for, because that's basically what Chris Ballard's doing. And I'm taking the draft pick because he's going to save me a ton of money. It's money I can spend elsewhere to make my team overall better. I'm going with the draft pick.
It's a tough one for me. I'm torn. I really am.
46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Let us know what you would do. If the packages were similar, and we don't know what Carolina is exactly asking for, they're probably going to ask for a little bit more than what the Colts would have to put up for Lamar Jackson, but it's that salary number that, you know, for a guy that I think he's at a risk of injury. And now Bryce Young would make me a little nervous too because of his size.
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't get weighed at the pro day. He got weighed at the NFL combine and he was over 200 pounds. Okay.
Mm.
And they think maybe he was like the stuffed fish, that he ate some lead tablets that day.
What a throwback.
You remember that story about the guys who cheated in fishing because they were stuffing lead weights into their fish they were catching?
Those poor fish.
Yeah. No, but there was a thought that maybe he wasn't at his natural weight when he was at the NFL combine. And so he was able to weigh in a little heavier than he normally is. And they didn't want to have a comparison where he might have been 3 or 4 pounds lighter than that number. And then there could have been concern. Was he just heavy for the combine, et cetera?
Yeah.
But he did not get weighed. So kind of an interesting thought there that he was not put on the scales to check and see if he had lost weight from his 205 pounds that he had weighed in at the combine.
I can't relate. I'm always trying to get on the scale and see if I've lost weight. Anyways, just got a text.
I don't want to know. You know, honestly, wait till you get to my age.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's like you got enough things in your life that's depressing. You don't need to put yourself on the scale. You know, it's like I'm already right over there at the edge of the cliff. I don't need to jump off.
Got a quick text here. They said, as a Steelers fan, I hope Indy takes Lamar out of our division and Baltimore loses for years. Although Indy is going to lose for the next decade as long as Irsay is in charge.
Yeah, that that's the question. It's almost like Colts fans have relegated to the idea that whatever the Colts decide to do will end up in the long run being the wrong choice, right?
That's got to be really hurtful as a mindset.
Was Andrew Luck the right choice?
I mean, hindsight is 20/20.
But yeah, I know.
But
you get 6-7 decent years out of him?
Yeah, at the time I think it was a good idea. Clearly now it wasn't the best plan, but I think when they originally signed him, he had a lot of promise as a quarterback with the Colts.
I mean, he turned out to be clearly the best player in that draft.
Absolutely.
Best quarterback probably in almost a generation. So I don't think that was a mistake. And if they get the number one pick, you got to hope. Now, there's not an Andrew Luck in this draft. We know that. But you've got to hope that they get it right like they did the last two times they took number one quarterbacks.
Yep. Another listener texting in. They said tank this year for the number one pick next year.
They want Caleb Williams.
I don't blame them.
No, I would want Caleb Williams. If he was in this class, there would not be a debate, I don't think, as to who the number one quarterback would be. It's Caleb Williams. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Over the weekend, went down to Indianapolis. The Blackhawk Christian Braves, another state championship. They have had some really good years in odd years. 2019, state championship in Class 1A. 2021, state championship in Class 2A. 2023, another state championship in 2A, knocking off the number one team in the state, Linton Stockton, who'd won 25 straight games and had not lost against an Indiana school. They were 29-1. And Blackhawk got behind by 11, but then the comeback began. If you missed it, here's what it was like on Saturday.
Accepted drive, splits defenders to the basket, the layup. Run by Cage Sefton.
Muldoon, corner, Pickett, triple to tie it. Yes! Davidson, lob pass, Pickett underneath, goes up in traffic. Good catch! He tipped it to himself and then reverse layup. Good by Pickett, and the Braves have taken the lead. Wade. Kick in the corner, Muldoon. He'll launch. Muldoon for three. 29% on the season, but a huge triple by the reserve gives Blackhawk Christian a two-possession lead. Hart lost the handle, and it goes to Davidson. He's going to dribble, throw it into the front court. The clock's going to tick down and burst with an emphatic slam dunk at the horn to get his first points. And with the exclamation point, the Blackhawk Christian Braves are your Class 2A state champions in boys basketball.
There you go from Saturday right here at 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM. Blackhawk Christian takes down the title. And, well, you know, it was a full day, definitely a full day in Indianapolis. We'll tell you what else happened. Plus, we've got a surprise coming up on the show. Big surprise coming up at 5 o'clock. And Don Fisher will join us at 5:20. It is a Monday edition of the Sports Rush at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Mentioned this before the tournament started. Since 2002, every national champ's been ranked in the top 39 in offensive efficiency and the top 22 in defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. Ken Pomeroy, who does a lot of the analytics and statistics for college basketball. Heading into the tournament, there were seven teams that fit that criteria. One is left in the Final Four. So if you want to believe that since 2002, every national champ's been ranked in the top 39 offensive efficiency, top 22 in defensive efficiency, and that it's going to happen again in 2023, then clearly your national champion is UConn. And it doesn't seem like a stretch right now. There's nobody playing better in the tournament than UConn. Now, there were a couple of teams playing in the Elite Eight that could have been part of the Final Four. Texas, they were in that criteria. Creighton was also in the top 39 in offensive efficiency, top 22 in defensive efficiency, but both of them got beat. Other teams that were there, Houston, Bama, Kansas, and UCLA. So all of them advanced somewhat in the tournament. But anyway, so I guess UConn is going to be the national champ. Game over. You can go ahead and get your second chance bracket. Actually, it's your third chance bracket, your Final Four bracket. We've got a contest right now for $100. You can go to 1380thefan.com and get yourself your bracket for the Final Four. $100 could be yours. Yeah, the register still got some cash in it. Not a lot, but still some cash. I mean, $100 is better than nothing, and you only got to pick a couple of games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to turn down $100 for some Final Four picks.
Let's put it this way. It's not going to cost you $100 to win $100.
Free.
It's free money if you're the best at picking our Final Four. So go ahead, give it a shot at 1380thefan.com. If you need to get quick access to our contest link, you can text BASH to 46862. And it is presented by Coyote Creek Bar and Grill, Edding Insurance, and Sweet Spot Golf. All right, so we were talking about Blackhawk on Saturday. Well, we also saw Northwood win the 3A state championship. Ben Davis finished undefeated. They knocked off Flory Badunga and the Kokomo Wildcats. And, boy, that was just a dominant Ben Davis team. They dominated from start to finish this year. But the real star of the day was not Badunga or Doughty. The star of the day actually was a young lady from Kokomo. Well, here's what she did. She didn't play, but she did do this.
And the Rockets ready to rumble, and I can prove through the night that our flag was still.
gives you chills, and that is Noelle Duncan. How old do you think she sounds? I mean, if I didn't set it up and kind of give it away, if you heard that rendition of the national anthem, could you ever imagine that is a high school student? Unbelievable performance. And I really got curious how this amazing talent is not already known to us, because I would have thought, man, she's got to come sing the national anthem for the Comets. She's got to come sing the national anthem for the Tin Caps. She's got to get onto The Voice. I'm ready to be her agent. And so we actually contacted her. She is going to join the show from the beach in Florida. She actually is on her spring break. But I told her, I said, that was the performance of the day. And we went down there to see all these basketball games, but it was a national anthem singer that was the biggest wow of the entire day down at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. But we're going to find out, I guess, her background, how she ended up singing the national anthem. How nervous was she? I can't imagine. She did it before the 3A game, then came back and sang it before the 4A game. Just remarkable talent. But she's going to join us just after 5 o'clock on the show. Adam?
Yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to that and kind of hearing how she got into singing and her musical career. And, yeah, just really cool to see some local talent besides the basketball down there at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Man, it just, we have a lot of bright futures here in Indiana.
And unbelievable that not only the rendition, but she had her own little twist to it.
Yeah.
And all of her runs were right on.
I mean,
she had the crowd just gasping with amazement. It was really a super performance. And so we'll talk to her coming up and find out not only what was her past, how did she get to this point, but what is she planning for her future? Because she is a very talented young lady. Noelle Duncan from Kokomo joining us just after 5 o'clock. Speaking of talent, how about the month that Ryan Fanti is having?
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. Not only did he beat the tar out of a goalie from Wheeling, but but my goodness, he put his name in the record books, you could say. Over the weekend, Saturday, Comets playing 3 games over the weekend against the Rush. And the Rapid City Rush in town. And with a goalie getting pulled at the other end, there was the empty net, and Ryan Fanti did this.
Flipped into the zone. Fanti will stop it. Fanti will make a bid himself. It's going to go all the way down. We have a chance. Do we do it? Yes! Yes! Ryan Fanti scores the first goal by a goaltender in Comet history. Oh, my! Ryan Fanti! Welcome to the record book, Ryan Fanti!
You know what's interesting about that, Adam, is a lot of times these coaches that have these amazing runs from smaller schools, that often that puts them on the radar and they become very attractive to large job openings. You know, we've got to keep an eye on Shane. This may have put him into the big time. You know who's actually been retweeting and playing his audio is Michael Kay in New York City. And Michael Kay over the weekend tweeted a comment, why is this guy not in the bigs right now? Pretty high praise from the Yankees broadcaster, Michael Kay.
Yeah, that's huge. And we certainly appreciate Shane and his amazing commentary of every Comets game.
Who'd have thought that Shane would have his breakthrough moment when a goalie decided to drop his pads and start whooping on another goalie?
Yeah.
And then within a couple of weeks, a 71-year record is basically established. It's not even breaking a record. It's never happened in Comet history. A goalie has never scored for the Fort Wayne Comets. So, this could be the big break for Shane Alberani. And he nailed both calls. I got to give Shane a lot of credit because, you know, sometimes you get caught in the moment, you don't really even know what words are coming out, but Shane nailed both of them, the energy, the excitement. He called the fight perfectly. He called that goal perfectly. So a lot of credit to Shane. for stepping up at the big moment. And both of those videos have now, like, gone viral. And in both cases, they end up making SportsCenter's top 10. I think the goalie goal on Saturday was number 4.
You were right.
How, when you have something that happens like once every, 70 years, do you not get better than number 4?
I'd have to see what was before it.
Well, or what was after it? What was better?
Yeah.
What was 1, 2, and 3 in the top 10 that day?
Man.
46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. By the way, did you happen to see any of the 4A state championship game with Flory Badunga and Ben Davis?
I didn't.
I wonder, because Badunga clearly did not have the same kind of success that he had had against smaller opponents on the run to Indianapolis. Because Zane Doughty, who's the, what is he, 6'8", 6'9", from Ben Davis, the big for Ben Davis, he handled Badunga pretty well in the half-court offense. Now, Badunga still gets out and still gets a break every once in a while. And then when Doughty was on the bench, Badunga had a couple of pretty impressive slam dunks in the offensive half-court. But I wonder, with all those coaches, they had a line of the who's who of coaching fraternity with Tom Izzo, Mike Woodson. In fact, Indiana brought their entire staff
wow.
to see Flory Badunga Saturday night. You had John Calipari. You had, who else was in that row? Michael Lewis from Ball State. I don't think he was there because he's competing for Badunga, but there's plenty of other talented players.
Certainly.
And, and it's a chance to kind of get on camera and be known recruiting the state of Indiana.
Yeah.
Coach Kaufman was there somewhere.
Couldn't find him?
He wasn't. Apparently, he didn't get the seat in that row.
Oh, man.
I don't know where he was, but I heard that he was supposedly there. I just never saw him.
Well, I hope he had a good time.
Yeah.
Speaking of, like, crazy basketball performances, did you happen to see Caitlin Clark yesterday? She did it again. 40-point triple-double.
In a triple-double. 40-point. 41, is, to be exact, I think.
She is ridiculous.
She is ridiculous. I think at this point, can we go ahead and crown her as the best women's basketball player ever, or is she still trying to earn that title?
That's tough. That's tough.
You're not ready to go that far.
I'm not ready to go there, but I'm close.
The fact that she makes her teammates better and the assists that she gets and the fact that she can get 10 rebounds... she does everything for Iowa. In fact, I think it was like middle of the second quarter before Iowa got any points that weren't scored by Clark or assisted by Clark. That's just how important she is to that Iowa offense. Unbelievable performance. 41. Did she end up with 41, 12, and 10? Was that the final number?
Yeah, 41 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists.
Yeah, crazy. But, so we've got more Women's Elite Eight basketball coming up tonight, and we will have, let's see, it's Maryland, South Carolina. Hey, that'll be a good one.
Oh, yeah, the Gamecocks.
Yeah, Shayla Sellers from Purdue Fort Wayne, her sister Cheyenne.
Right.
Remember, Maryland played here.
Wouldn't it
be fun to have a team in the Final Four that played at the Gate Center that same season?
That's awesome.
It'd be even more fun to have the national champion and be able to say they played in Fort Wayne at the Gate Center the year they won the national title. But Cheyenne Sellers is one of the stars for Maryland. That game will tip at 6:45. And then just after 9 o'clock, Ohio State versus Virginia Tech.
The Buckeyes
seem to have figured things out. They had that two-week run where they just lost themselves. But they seem to have found it. And we'll see if Big Ten teams can join Iowa in the Final Four, as Iowa now books there. Where is the women's Final Four at this year? Do you know? I'm trying to see, because we are carrying the women's Final Four and national championship, and unfortunately on our schedule it doesn't say where the games take place. It just says what time they'll be played.
It's a little
confusing. Well, we can try to figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
We don't want to get behind, because we've got Noelle Duncan the national anthem singer from Saturday, who's going to be joining us. Also, Don Fisher, scheduled to be with us about 5:20 for our 15 minutes with Fish. We'll come back. It is a Monday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.